Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everyone. Praise the Lord. Does anyone have any special prayer requests so that I may acknowledge you, everyone that's online, streaming, everyone here? I want to put a special prayer request out for the victims from the Hurricane Irma, Caribbean, Texas, and Florida. But we know that God has his way. It's for a purpose, as long as we keep his eyes on him. Let us pray. Most gracious Father, you heard the prayer request presented before you, Father God. Father God, if we had 10,000 tongues, we couldn't praise you enough, Father God. We don't need to know why it happened. We just need to know what you can do. Father God, we want to pray for the ones that are sick and shut in. Pray for the ones that were trapped in the hurricane and one that couldn't get out. Pray for the ones that are incarcerated, that one day they might say, what must I do to be saved? Pray for the ones that are on their way, that if God may give them traveling mercy. Father God, we want to continue to keep our eyes on you. Pray for this church, Father God. Father God, not only bless the church and the pastor, but increase us, Father God. Father God, if we keep our eyes on you, we can't fail. Father God, we ask for these blessings in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Restore my
fill my heart with. Come fill my heart. Lord, we thank you for this presence. My soul waits, worship and prayer. Lift up holy hands and worship the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Lift up your heart and adore him. Lift up your spirit and glorify him. Lift up your voice and give him a high praise, for he is worthy. Hey, my name is Pastor Lonnie Williams. I am Associate Pastor of Unfailing Love Ministries, where I lead and gracious and glorious, intelligent pastor, Dr. V. We are here to worship God and worship him loud with an exuberant voice, as they say. And I include you to come and join us any Sunday, any Saturday, 5 o'clock out here in the Chesterfield, our Chesterfield facility, where we are right now. I welcome you. I want you to enjoy your service. A church without walls is what we are now. The spirit of love, increasing integrity, experiencing, expressing, and emerging, sharing God's unfailing love. And we're going to do our thing if God have us to do it. Praise God.
Praise him now. Amen. Amen.
I'm
Hallelujah. Move and let me praise him. Will you do that? Hallelujah. We thank God for you for participating with us in our time. We call it My Soul Wakes. Amen. As we worship him, as we lift up his name. Amen. Here at Unfailing Love Ministries, you've already been welcomed by Pastor Lonnie, but as a senior pastor of this church, I want to just, if you just tune in or if you're listening in, you're just listening in to us archive, I want you to know that we not only we welcome you into unfailing love, worship, flow, but we welcome you into the very presence of God. Whenever we're on the air, whether live or archive, we endeavor to be in his presence, amen, as we worship him. So we give him the praise. Scripture says, enter in with praise and enter in with thanksgiving, amen. And we have so much to be thankful for. So much to be thankful for. We're just going to let you into our living room today, amen, and just let you know where we've been and where we're going, amen.
Amen.
And so we call that our then and now. Don't you remember how we used to just exist? Hallelujah. And we celebrate God's mindfulness of us. So as we open up our service, we want to update you on where we were then and where we are now. A few months ago, just at the end of the summer, amen, we were worshiping within the walls, amen, at 214 Corden Avenue in the worship facility of what you might know as the Richmond Christian Center, the old Richmond Christian Center. We had been there, I guess almost a year, amen. And before that, we were over on Distributor Drive, amen, with our parent church, with our apostle P. Devin Mason, and we were there almost a year. So God has just been leading us and guiding us. But toward the end of May, amen, I'm just going to own it. I heard the Lord say this to me. I want you to build a people. Amen?
Amen.
That's what I want you to do. That's what I want you to focus on in this season, and that's building a people. And when I began to look at it, I said, well, God, I'm trying. He said, well, you know what? Let me show you what you're doing. Every month when your people tithe, when they give their offerings, amen, when they give their offerings, you're having to, this is like in the natural, because the Bible said first the natural, then the spirit, all right? We're having to put everything out, Sister Mary, that we brought into making sure that the rent got paid. And then when a church member or whatever have a need, we were looking around like, we just paid the rent, we ain't got no more money. I just, you know, Dr. V just be leaving, being transparent and down to earth. So I said, okay, well, I can start right there, because if I ain't got no money to bless and undergird and build up my congregation when they have a need in the natural, amen, then I can feed them all the spiritual food I want to. But even Jesus said, sit down, set the people down, feed them some bread and some fish, amen. So God, he always tended to and paid attention to our natural needs as well, amen. So I thank God that we heard him. And then he began to give me a plan of how we do that. We're going to be a church without walls. There are a lot of other smaller churches like we are in the city of Richmond that would need our support. So he directed me to go and on the fourth Sundays, and support Shepherd's Heart Evangelistic Ministries. And that's with Pastor Sharon Jones. And we did that all summer. We're going to continue to do that. So we went to support them on Sundays, you know, at 10 a.m. right there on Pickleton, in the south side of Richmond. And oh my God, did we ever get fed their congregation?
Amen.
I mean, that spiritual food was good. And
that's
then
right.
They also feed us in the natural on the fourth. Their food was good too, Sister Mary. They can cook over there. Glory to God. And so they were encouraged. Pastor told me a couple of weeks ago, she said, Dr. V, you all know when you guys came, we needed that. You came at a time to where we were just kind of getting discouraged in the spirit. And when Unfailing Love Ministries came over to support us, even that one Sunday. Guess what? After you guys started doing that, other ministries started coming to support us too. And so now they're revived. And I go, God, for that testimony, because I, you know, sometimes you think you hear God, but then when you get that witness that you know you heard God, amen, it makes a difference. And so they were encouraged. Then it gave us a summer off so that our families could do what they need to do, spend time with one another, making all the transitions and things that they need to make. Amen. We touched base with each other several times during the summer. We had several broadcasts and we, you know, met here on our second Saturdays, our Sabbath time. And so it's been a glorious summer. Now it's time for us to kick it back into another gear. Amen. Kids are back in school. Amen. We gotta pray them through this year. Amen. And they're growing up and they're maturing. Oh, I can see the maturity. I don't know about y'all, but if you ever visit our church, you look around at how still it is right now. God been growing up. God been growing us, Kenyatta. Amen. We ain't got to lay hands on this one, lay hands on that one. Everybody jumping up every 5 minutes. Well, anyway, that's a little bit deeper in housekeeping. But I want you to know, then we were doing as what God had called us to do. Now we're continuing to do what God has called us to do. And we're moving into the last 4 months of the year of our Lord 2017. And we're expecting God to do great things through us. We're going to adhere to what the Spirit last told us to do. And that was to encourage other ministries to build the body of Christ, teach them the word, amen, love on them, and we're going to do that. And so that we're going to invite you to continue to follow us along in Unfailing Love Ministries. Join us on the air when you can. Join us in person when you can. On the second Saturday of the month, we'll be out here in our Chesterfield location. Amen. In the Bible, they went from house to house. Amen. So we're, in case you're wondering, our facility is, the pastor's house. And God blessed us, amen, out here on the 18th hole of the golf course of Bergdale. I'm just boasting in the Lord, as Paul said. And so we're out here in a beautiful location. If we want to worship outside, we can worship down by the water, amen. We can do all kinds of things. So we invite you to come into this atmosphere with us, amen. Still a church without walls, but yet being very biblical in that we're going from house to house. Amen. Glory to God. And so that's where we are now, and we're continuing on. God is going to do some amazing things, church. Amen. In us first. Amen. Because we have to experience it first. Remember what we said earlier, that we are experiencing? Glory to God. Let me put that back so you can see that. We are a church without walls. We operate in a spirit of love, increase in integrity, but we're experiencing God's love for ourselves first, and then we're expressing God's love, amen, as we mature in him, and then we're emerging out into the community. As the Bible says, go into the hedges and highways and compel them to come in. What? Come into where? Come into him. You know, a lot of times we go, can you come to my church? It doesn't matter to me personally as a pastor whether you ever come into our congregation to meet. It's more important that you come into Christ. Amen. You can worship wherever you feel comfortable at. Amen. But if you choose to worship with us, just know you're going to get the hell loved out of you. Amen. Because that's what we're going to do. We're operating in the spirit of love, unashamedly and unapologetically. God's unfailing love, because that's what he's been to us. And so then we want to invite you into an experience with God. Then we want to invite you to express that experience to others. That be a witness. And you merge forth and God, you know, quickening and awakening you to your gifts, to your skills and your time. And then you become evangelistic with the message of unfailing love. We've done our job if we do that. Amen. If we teach you how to receive God's love. Amen. And experience it, if we teach you how to express God's love and how you treat your fellow man, because God said, I know that you love me, hallelujah, by the way you love the brethren. So by the way we love each other, amen. So it needs to be seen upon us, God's love being expressed by loving others. And then you emerge out into a dying world who don't feel no love now, and you share that unfailing love with them. And so that's our then and now. And I thank you for, you know, just receiving that even in your spirit, because that's exactly, hallelujah, that's exactly where we are. So I tell you what, after this next election that you hear, I'm going to come forward with our word script, and I want you to get your Bibles, get your pens while this song is being played. Congregation, I need you to grab your Compass Bible because we're going to be in that a lot, as well as the Message Bible, which I put on the screen for everybody that's there. But grab your Message Bibles right now while this song is on. There's some pens over there on the side. There's some paper. Take some notes, whatever you need to do. But we're getting ready after this song to get into God's word. And I tell you what, I think we're going to be showing up blessed because your pastor, Love Truly, was blessed by what God had shared with my spirit. And so here we go. Our next selection is, well, this is going to be a short one, so you got to hurry up and grab your pen. Here it is. Thank you, Father. While you're grabbing your Bible, you may want to go ahead and already turn to Ephesians chapter 2. We're going to focus on the 4th to the 13th verse. That's our love scripture today. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4 to 13. I really need to come to the congregation if you can grab the Compass Bible. On the end, that's going to really bless you as I go through the commentary. Pray before we break open this word. Father, in the name of Jesus, Father, we glorify you, we magnify you, we thank you, oh God, for your goodness and your grace and your mercy. You're loving on us through your word today, as you always do. So we ask now, first of all, for your servant, Dr. V, that you holler her out so that word can flow freely and fluidly through me, oh God, so that be no hindrance of the people of God understanding your word, feeling your love, and experiencing it. Then being able to express it and emerge with it. Father God, we just thank you that your word often tells us that the entrance of your word bringeth light. So we're expecting the light to be turned on in our hearts and our spirits today. Thank you, oh God, for that light in your word. Thank you for the truth. Thank you for the wisdom that we'll be able to live by this word that you've given us. This is our celebration of your love and our worship service, Father God. We dedicate it to you. Oh God, and then we then finally ask you for the effectual presence of the Holy Spirit so that he might lead us, hallelujah, and he might guide us into all truth. Amen and amen and amen. All right. Congregation, you where?
Oh, yeah.
There, all right. In Ephesians, the second chapter. Now, for some of you that that don't know, we as a rule, we use our compass Bible. It's a Bible that kind of navigates us through life. And so I'm going to use that Bible, but I'm also going to use, so you can break it down to you, the Message Bible. So you at home, if you have the Message Bible, go ahead and pull that out and you can still follow along with us. I'm going to read our Compass version of it first, and then we're going to break it down. Are you with me? Okay, glory to God. Ephesians, the second chapter. I'm going to read down to the fourth verse, and then we will get into to the teaching of it when we get to there, okay? As you know, don't you remember how you used to just exist? Hallelujah. Remember? You were corpses. You were dead in life, buried by transgressions, wandering the course of this perverse world. You were the offspring of the prince of the power of the air, that's Satan. Oh, how he owned you. Just as he still controls those living in disobedience. I'm not talking about the outsiders alone. We were all guilty of falling headlong for the persuasive passions of this world, weren't we? We all have had our fill of indulging the flesh. I'm raising up my hand because I know I did. And the indulging of the mind, obeying impulses to follow perverse thoughts motivated by dark powers. As a result, our natural inclinations led us to be children of wrath, just like the rest of humankind. Now, for those of you who go, what did you just say, Dr. V? Let me put it in the Message vein, the Message Bible vein. The Message Bible says this: it wasn't so long ago that you were mired in that old stagnant life of sin. You let the world, which doesn't know the first thing about living, tell you how to live. You fill your lungs with polluted unbelief. Come on. And then exhale disobedience. We all did it, Dr. V included. All of us, you, anybody else? Doing what we felt like doing. When we felt like doing it. And all of us in the same boat. It's a wonder God didn't lose his temper. Hey. And do away with a whole lot of us. But instead, in mercy and mercy, that's God, and with an incredible love, we might say an unfailing love, he embraced us. Thank you, Father. He took our sin dead lives and made us alive in Christ. Thank you, Lord. He did all this, how? On his own. He did it on his own. We didn't even ask him to do it. Amen? With no help from us, the Message Bible said. Then he picked us up and set us down in the highest heaven in company with who? Jesus, our Messiah. Isn't that wonderful? That's what God did. We're celebrating, church. We're celebrating those that are listening to us live and archive. We're celebrating God's love. And this is how we're going to do that. We're going to be keenly aware that God is mindful of us. Let's look at verse 7. Again, first, I'm going to read it from, I'm going to read from our Compass Bible. Start at verse 4. We'll go down to and read through to verse 10. But God, with his unfathomable riches of his love and mercy, focused on us, united us with the anointed one, and infused our life and soul with life, even though we were buried under mountains of sin, and saved us by his grace. He raised us up with him and seated us in heavenly realms with our beloved Jesus, the anointed, the liberating king. He did it this for a reason. What was the reason, Dr. V? So that all eternity, that for all eternity, we would stand as a living testimony to the incredible riches of his grace and kindness. And he freely gives us for, by uniting us, how? With Jesus, the anointed one. Hallelujah. Verse 8. For it's by God's grace that you have been saved. You receive it through faith. It was not our plan or our effort. It is God's gift. Pure and simple. Pure and simple. How many of you, I'm reminded of this, I want to take our kids because we have a large congregation of children, so I want them to be on the same page with us. How many of you about Christmas time, a little bit before, probably in about a month. They're already putting trees up in the store and toys and this and that, gifts and enticing you and commercials and that kind of. How many of you between now and December the 23rd already have your laundry list of things you want your parents to get you? And Mary said, and I want them to get me too. I want to have a list too, right? Amen. Glory to God. Welcome, Sister Anna. Come on in. And so you got this list. And when we were coming up, I don't know about you, but the song would go something like this. I'm checking the list. I'm checking it twice. I'm making a list and checking it twice. I want to know who's been naughty or not. Yeah. You know, because who? Santa Claus is coming to town. Well, everybody in here, all the congregation now, know that Santa Claus is really your mama and your daddy, whichever one. So you are thinking, I better start, you know, doing my homework, better start cleaning up my room, because I got this list, and I keep adding to this list. I better stop getting on my parents' nerves too much, because I want my list. I got my list. You know, I want them shoes. I want that, you know, new Apple phone. I do too. And I want, you know, I want what I want. You know, so you got this list, and so you start checking your behavior, and you start doing right. But you, and then you know, like the first, you know, 8 months, you did whatever you wanted to do, how you wanted to do it, like the scripture said. We weren't acting right. You know, this summer, we didn't clean our room. We didn't wash the dishes. We didn't do nothing. We just kind of sat around, lazed around, and our parents had to, what, nag us to do it. So you know you ain't been earning that, right? Nothing for Christmas, you know, that you earn it. Like the scripture saying right here, it's not that we earn God's love. That it's not that we earn his riches of blessings. It's not that we earn him doing exceedingly abundantly above what we could think of as adults. It is not that God, amen, we've been so awesome because no flesh can glory in his sight, right? We singing and preaching and teaching like nobody's business, so God ought to really bless me, amen, with that car I want. Come on, adults. We have our list before God, too. We want God to do these things, so we feel like I've been good enough. I ain't been living like I used to live now. I ain't been sinning. I just cut back on gossiping. I just cut back on stealing and adulting and all that kind. I just cut back on that, you know. But yet and still, when God bless us, as the scriptures say, the goodness of the Lord, hey, Kayla, my son, lead us to repentance. He said, God bless me, and I didn't even act all the way right every day. You know, you look under the tree Christmas morning, you go, ooh, they got everything that I asked for. Man, I should have been better. I should have did a little bit better. I should have made a C instead of an F. I should have made a B instead of a C. You know, you get to think of the things about you that you could have done, that you should have done, that you didn't do. Because God is so good. Did your parents bless you? God bless the parents, and the parents bless you. But we don't think about that Christmas morning. We just think like, ooh, I got it. You know, sometimes we forget. But the writers here was trying to say God was mindful of you. And like Romans, I think it's 5:8 or 8:5, get mom. He says, while we were yet sinners, what? Christ died for us. And so the writer here in Ephesians was trying to say, it ain't that you earned it. God just chose to bless you because he's God. See, let me tell you something about God. This is what I've come to know. Just because you like you are, that ain't gonna change God from being who he is. God is God. God ain't gonna mess up his brand. You know, let's talk like we talk today and even that. God is not gonna mess up his brand because you ain't acting like you brand new, you know, with him. You know, you acting like you're not his child and you're disobeying him. He said it like this. If you turn, if you repent, if you forgive, then I'll respond like I'm God, you know. But as long as you do what you do, the consequences are already there. I can still be God. I'm still right here when you turn. But you go still have to what? Deal with the consequences of your what? Disobedience. Amen. So God ain't changed his brand. He's still God. He's still full of mercy. Because you know that when even if you had to pay for what you stole that you didn't really get, God has not rewarded us according to our iniquities. Let me tell you, your pastor, I've done enough sinning for God to turn his back on me forever and a day, and I shouldn't be complaining about it because it was super sin. I was knee deep in, I was in the muck and the mire because he had to reach down way to say I knew and pick me up, and he had to watch me for a minute. Amen. And guess what? He's still watching me. Glory to God. I love him like that. So the writer here is that God is mindful of you. It's God's gift from start to finish. We don't play the major role. If we did, we'd probably go around bragging that we've done the whole thing. God ain't gonna let us brag because that's glorying in his sight, and he don't do that. God don't take nothing. Something God won't do. He won't let no flesh glory in his sight. Because, you know, we sing that song in the old Baptist church, you can't be God's giving no matter how you try. The more you give, the more he gives to you. So just keep on giving. Because it's really true that you can't. You can't be God's giving. You can't earn his gift or his mercy. Now, he wants you to be obedient. He wants you to, and that's just for you. Your obedience blesses you. It's not like God need to be blessed by your obedience. You need to be obedient for who? You. Just like you need to forgive. Well, for who? Not for the person that you need to forgive. You need to forgive for who? You. Amen. And so the scripture tells us that same way with God. He asks you to do these things, but you can't earn his reward for you doing them. Because you don't do it well enough. Just not. That's okay. So scripture says here again, if we did, we'd probably go around bragging that we've done the whole thing. No, we neither make nor save ourselves. We can't do it. God does both, the making and the saving. Y'all got that? God does the making, hallelujah, and the saving. Another scripture says he's my beginning and the end. He's my Alpha and he's my Omega. Amen? He's all, and I add that he's all points in between. He creates each of us by Christ Jesus. You see that? It's on the screen if you don't. To join him in the work he does, the good work he has gotten ready for us to do, work we had better be doing. That's what the writer says. And so when you think about that, where in your life can you see his love operating? Let's respond to this time. Because when we say God is mindful of us, it's another way of saying, listen, God is loving on me. I used to say sometimes when people say, oh, my goodness, I said, that's just God loving on us. Just God loving on us. We have got to, because we have watered down love, because we have reduced it to the base of how we treat each other. You know what I'm saying? We don't treat each other like God treats us. Amen. We don't. We got a whole lot of studying to do in terms of relationship and how to treat one another. But God wants us to attain to that. But when we think about how God loves on us, we can point to some of the very practical things he does. That's that. How God showed his love to me in your heart. You think about this and ponder on this as Pastor talking. In your heart, John 14:27 says, my peace I leave with you. Let's look at that in a scripture a minute, because that thing is so beautiful. When I saw it, I was going, you know what, God? That's a gift all by itself, your peace. The 14th chapter of John and verse 27. Okay, I'm going to read out of our compass. It says this. My peace is a legacy I leave to you. I don't give gifts that those of this world give. Do not let your heart be troubled or fearful. You were listening when I said, I will go away, but I will also return and be with you. In other words, when Jesus at this time, he was leaving his disciples and he knew that they were going to miss his presence and the benefits they had from his presence, he said, don't worry because you don't see me. And that's a beautiful thing. I want y'all to see this. That's a beautiful thing. A lot of times we want to see how we're being blessed. We want to see somebody standing by our side. But Jesus said, listen, even though you're not going to see me, I'm going to leave you something that you'll know that I'm loving on you even when you don't see me. I'm going to leave you my peace. How many of you know that if you don't have peace, then what operates in your life is what? Turmoil, fearfulness, confusion, anxiety, stress, all those things that take you out. The scripture goes on to say in another place, those that keep their mind on me, I will give them what? Perfect peace. And then another scripture says, be anxious for nothing. Huh? The another scripture, y'all ain't got nothing, let me give you one more. Let not your heart what? Be troubled. Hallelujah. It's the word reminding us that Jesus left us a gift. He didn't come back and take it back. I leave you a legacy of peace. I leave you the gift of peace. Here's God loving on us, still giving us what? Peace. That peace that we often say, I got the peace that passes all understanding. I still got bills to a whole lot of people bills. Oh, my God. Stand in line. But I got up this morning. I said, I'm gonna wake up in gratitude. Thank God for things being as well as they are. And whatever's paid, that's paid. And whatever ain't get paid, God can pay that. You know, you have to start talking to yourself daily and reminding you that God, even when you can't do nothing in the natural, in an invisible, he's already, like the scripture say, gone before you, and he's made your crooked places straight. He perfected those things that you're concerned about. Don't forget to quote that scripture as often you hear me, and all that you need it. He goes before you, Deacon Goo, and he makes the crooked places straight. He perfects those things that you're concerned about. He's full of mercy, and he will not perfect the work of his hands. Where? In your life. So he gives you peace. You can lay down and rest at night. You don't have to be up walking the floor. You don't have to be fretting. You don't have to be anxious. Isn't that a wonderful gift? Isn't that a beautiful way God can show us that he loves us? Listen, you go to sleep, I got this. You rest, I got this. Don't be anxious, I got this. Huh? Don't fear, man, I got it. I'm in control. I'm the sovereign God. I'm the mighty God. There's nothing too hard for me. Huh? In your weakness, I make you strong. He reminds us in so many places. He loves on us by giving us his perfect peace. Okay, so another way. Well, where do you see his love operating in your home? Well, let's look at Psalm 91. See if you can see this. I mean, you know, while I'm going through the scripture, think about your home. Think about it. Think about it. Hey, while you're thinking about it, be glad you got a home, a roof over your head. Because somewhere in the world today, just go down south, somebody ain't got no place to stay. Because guess what? Irma done come and destroyed every brick and plank and took the roof off and everything. But if you're not sleeping under stars, and even if you are, thank God for stars. But if you've got a home, then guess this is what God's promised. Psalms 91, you there yet? He who takes refuge, in the shelter of the Most High. First of all, oh my God, I got a revelation on that. I know your King James said, those that dwell in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. But let me tell you what God is saying. That your abode be in me. Huh? You abide in me and I abide in you. Let me be the roof over your head. Let me be your home. Let me be that place that shelters you. Isn't that beautiful? He says, he who takes refuge in the shelter of the Most High will be safe in the shadow of the Almighty. He will say to the Eternal, my shelter, huh? My mighty fortress. That's who you are, God. You're my God. You're my dwelling place. I place all my trust in you. Oh, I love this version. This is the Compass version. For he will rescue you from the snares set by your enemies who entrap you and from deadly plagues. Like a bird protecting his young, God will cover you with his feathers. You know, yeah, this is the protection that he says that is available to you in his home. I'm going to read another version for those of you who just like, you know, really, it's not like I remember it, not like I heard it. I want to make sure that we're, you know, in the same page. So let me just read this version that you may be familiar with. He that dwelleth in the secret place, where? Of the Most High, shall abide, where? Under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, this is what you need to say. He is my refuge. Hey, glory to God. Those are those that are down south that are being displaced by Irma, you need to have your refuge where? In God. And you're my fortress and my God. And him, whoa, glory to God. Not in the government, not in Trump, not in number 45, not in, in him will I do what? Trust. Surely he shall deliver me from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover me with his feathers, and under his wings shall I trust. His truth shall be my shield and my buckler. Hallelujah. I shall not be afraid of the terror by night, even by day, and all those things. And so when you read on, you'll begin to understand that God wants to love on you in this way. And then verse 15, let me just jump down to that. He says, I like to put my name in the scripture. Dr. V shall call upon the Lord, and the Lord will answer Dr. V. And the Lord will be with Dr. V in trouble, and the Lord will deliver Dr. V, and Dr. V will honor the Lord. And then the Lord will honor Dr. V with long life and show me his salvation. I just love to read that scripture with my name, and you ought to do that too sometime. It'll bless you. And then it'll show you how God is loving on you where you are. Amen? Then the final point, in your relationships. I love this one. Turn it quickly to Deuteronomy, the 28th chapter. Ooh, Deuteronomy 28 have a lot of good stuff in it. But we're going to camp right here for a minute. Deuteronomy 28 and verse 7. God loves on you. How many of you know if you are above, you one day on, there's already an enemy been assigned to you to follow you all the days of your life. Amen. But you got to know that there is a savior of your soul. There is someone who loves, a lover of your soul. He's with you day one, too. In fact, he's with you in your mother's womb. Psalms 139 says that. But here we go. Deuteronomy 28 chapter, the 7th verse, it says this. Hallelujah. It says, when your enemies attack you, the eternal, which is God, will defeat them for you. Hallelujah. You ought to just shout on that. That's God loving you. God, you'll take care of my enemy. You'll take care of them. They'll come against Dr. V from one direction, but, well, what happened there? Well, glory to God. Okay, yeah. Come to you in one direction. Let's make sure that we're still on the air. We got a little power surge that's there. Hallelujah. We're on air. Okay, great. Something happened here, but you know what? The enemy's upset because we're in his camp. Amen. We're messing him up today with God's word. Hallelujah. And so, you know, so he's going to flee 7 different ways, the scripture says. God is going to, can I go for another couple of verses so I can bless you? God will bless your barn. That means your storehouse, what's in your cupboard. If it looks bare, you open the door one day and it's full of stuff. Amen. Woo! How'd all this food get in here? Somebody knocking on that door this has literally happened to me. Somebody knocked on my door with boxes and boxes of food. Amen. And they would do it often. I can go one better than that. I can tell you many times where when I was in Arizona, I call that my desert experience with America. When I was in Arizona and my rent was over $1,000 a month, people would call me on the phone, could you meet me at Starbucks? And put 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, $1,100 in my hand. So where does what I ain't prayed for? I ain't had no bodies left. God told us to call you and bless you. So we're just being obedient. Take the money so we can get blessed. Hallelujah. And that happened more than one time. And so God blessed my house. He blessed my barn. Amen. And they'll be full with grain. He'll bless everything you do. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You'll be blessed throughout the land. Hey, glory. He is giving you. How many of you know God is giving you some land? He's giving you a territory. He's giving you a place that you can have dominion over, Sister Mary. He's giving you, listen, this is mine. God gave it to me. God blessed me with it. This is how he showed me. God bless it. He told me, he woke me up this morning. He said, oh, I brought you to Canaan, and you're afraid of a few giants. Huh? You better learn how to do this to your giants. Anything in your life. Just say, you ain't that big. Just do this. Everybody do this. Come on, come on, do this. Just shrink it down. You ain't that big. Huh? If God said all you need is a faith the size of a mustard seed, you can make a mountain skip. And how many of you have seen mountains that are really, really big, like really scaled on up there? But then have you seen a giant that's bigger than any of those mountains? No. So the giants in your life, in the Canaan that God has given you, you need to shrink them down, amen, with your word of faith. And so listen, God loves me enough to make sure that you look like an ant in my sight. Huh? I don't know. Y'all talk bad to other people. How come you can't talk bad to Satan? We want to say the devil is busy. No, you need to talk right. Devil, you're a liar. You're under my feet. This is my Canaan, and I'm going to dispossess you. You need to learn how to talk to the enemy of your soul. Amen? Instead of talking bad to each other, talk bad to the one responsible for people acting contrary against you. That's another sermon. Here we go. What time is it? Okay, we got 5 minutes. Here we go. Are you still with us, congregation online? Here we go, verse 11. God loves you, us, just that much, okay? Verse 11 through 13. But don't take any of this for granted. It was only yesterday that you outsiders to God's ways had no idea of any of this. Didn't know the first thing about the way God works. Amen? Some people you might meet on the street that don't know God and go, God, you know, especially homeless people or people who are, you know, just out there in the world being tossed through and from. They go, God ain't done nothing for me lately. And my girlfriend say, thank you. My girlfriend say, you know, you're still alive to tell it. So if you still got life, if you ain't 6 feet under, God ain't through blessing you. Amen. But, you know, they don't have the faintest idea about Christ and what all that's there in him. He said, listen, I come. Church, listen to this. Come on, fell in love. Get this. I come, this is Christ talking, so that you might have life. Hey, glory to God. And not only that, have it more abundantly. Amen? Amen? And so we thank God for all the things that we have in Christ. Scripture goes on to say, he knew nothing, you knew nothing of that rich history of God's covenant and promises in Israel. That's why it's good for us to go back and to see what God promised Israel, because we are who? The new Israelites. We're God's new people. We're the what? New Jerusalem. We're under the covenant of grace and not of the law, because the law what? Couldn't save us. Amen? And so everything that you did, and when there was that law could only do nothing but condemn you, the law couldn't love on you, God said, listen, my people will never get back to me because the law has death attached to it. So I got to give them and attach life to it, amen, so that they might have hope in me. And guess what? I miss them. I miss my people. I miss having, you know, I'm just paraphrasing for God. Because he said, you know, it's not in the beginning when he made man, he said, it's not good for us to be alone. Let us make man. So God really desired us to be in relationship and fellowship with us. And so when we got separated, guess who? God was probably grieving. Amen. We didn't even know. But God, here he is back. He made a bridge. As Aretha Franklin said, he made a bridge over troubled waters. Yes. Whose waters were troubled? Ours. Amen. God wasn't troubled, but he wanted us back to him. So he used Christ. He used himself. He became incarnated in Christ to come down and get us made, put on a fleshy body. And you know the story. He walked these mundane shores, grew up as a child, as a carpenter's child. Amen. He couldn't help himself. He began to heal people and get people delivered and turn water into wine. He began to heal lepers and he began to raise people from there. I mean, he just showed up as God. See, when God show up as God, he just do what God do. You know, God can't handle that. God can't handle seeing us broken. He can't handle seeing us unsaved. He said, I would that all y'all be saved and come into the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. That God, he just can't look on. Like you see your parents, you see your children suffering. You see them making bad decisions. You see them, you know, just being messed up, beat up, thinking wrong stuff. It grieves you. Well, God is even bigger than that. It grieves God when we're not living in the glorious promises and things that he has for us. Amen. And so, listen, let me tell you this real quick. If you had to leave, you didn't have to leave, but if you had to leave online, I just got to keep preaching to my congregation because I love them like that. Catch us again, listen to the recording, you'll get it, amen? So, but here it is. Now, because of Christ dying that death, hallelujah, everybody say that death. You know, so we die to stuff every day, but it was that death that brought us what? Eternal life. Hallelujah. He said, now, it wasn't because of Dr. V. It wasn't because of your pastor, your mama, your daddy, your sister and brother, how great, deep, and wonderful. It wasn't TD. It wasn't Joyce Myers. It wasn't any of Benny Hinn, none of those people. It's because of what? Christ dying that death. Everybody say that death. And shedding that blood. Everybody say that blood. It wasn't anybody's blood because they killed a lot of animals and it didn't do them no good. Sprinkled it on the altar. The priest prayed till they didn't have no more tongues and stuff like that. But it didn't erase the sin permanently from our lives. It didn't cancel out the penalty of sin, which is what? Death. Only that blood, the blood of Jesus Christ, canceled out, amen, the penalty of sin, which is what? Death. Sometimes a preacher really want to go on and preach just right there. You know what I'm saying? He says, but you, everybody said me. When we were once out of it altogether, or in it on everything. You who were once out of it altogether, or in on everything. Listen. What Christ did, and I want you to get this because this is God's ultimate love. John 3:16 says what? So God so loved the world that he did what? He gave his only begotten son that whosoever do what? Believe on him shall have what? Everlasting life. You were out of it. You were going straight to hell on a fast train, supersonic jet. You were on your way there before you accepted Jesus Christ. When you accepted him, and we'll talk another time about accepting him and then, you know, responding to his love. Well, let me just say it right now. You respond to your so great a salvation by, number one, counting it precious. Amen. Count your salvation precious. Count the blood of Jesus precious. Yes. Count his death precious. Deciding that, you know, because he did that thing for me that I could not do for myself. He brought me all the way into eternity with him. And my proper response to that is that I would love him back with my life, that I'll try to be obedient every chance I get, every waking moment I have. I'll try to love him back through other people. I'll try to bless. I'll try to, not only have I had a beautiful experience with him, but I'm going to get in to tell everybody, run and tell it, like the woman did at the well. Come see a man. Come see a man that told me everything ever I did. Is this not the Christ? I'll begin to testify of his goodness. The Bible said we overcome by the blood of the Lamb. Everybody say that blood. That blood of the Lamb, we overcome. And what? Well, guess what? The word of our testimony. You know, I earned death, but God gave me the gift of life. Hallelujah, through his son. Everything now I can have in God. He says God desired to give us good gifts. You didn't earn it. In my conclusion, you didn't earn it. If faith makes salvation real in us, and it does, when we are transformed by grace, then we become his new creation, itself, and begin to live it out in good works. It was a gift. The truth is that salvation is God's gift through Jesus. I just said that to you. And so it works. We put it all together and gave it to us. And so who wouldn't love a God like that? Amen. He wrapped salvation in, and he said he did it because he loved us. That's it. He just did it. We didn't earn it. So we have a celebration of his love today. The reason we celebrate it deeply, I'm not saying to any of you right now that God is finished blessing you. He's not. You may be sitting there when you came in and said, God, I need you to bless me some more. Hold on. Amen? When he said, I go before you and I'll make the crooked places straight, that means God ain't finished. Your blessings are still coming. Don't give up before the blessings arrive. Don't leave God before he show up and show out. Amen? Don't walk away from the giver of life. Keep sourcing yourself out of God. The Bible says in 1 Peter 5:10, after we have suffered for a little while, amen, Dr. V, I've been suffering a long time. When you get blessed, it'll look like you suffer for a little while. Amen. He will strengthen you. He will establish you. He will settle you. He will perfect you. Who wouldn't love a God like that? Amen. Those of you who are still listening online, thank God for your listening. I hope that when you get a hold of this broadcast, and we'll broadcast it again as often as we are fed by the Spirit to do so, just celebrate the love of God toward you. He's mindful of you. You didn't earn it. It's a gift from God. And as Dr. V would always say, God loves you just that much.
Amen.
We're gonna close out our service with you today online. But just remember, we invite you to be with us in God's presence at Unfailing Love Ministries on the second Saturdays at 5. We also invite you on the fourth Sunday with Shepherd Hearts Ministry as we come together with them, alongside them in ministry to worship the Lord. And then at other times, we will announce on Facebook and even on here as we broadcast times that we'll be broadcasting and times that we will also be going out into the community and worshiping with other believers and encouraging them and strengthening them. But in the meantime, we want to again invite you to Christ, to that beautiful relationship, that eternal relationship, that relationship that where you find love like you've never found it before. Amen. And then you begin to live in him and he begins to live in you. And then things will begin to change in your life. His love is unfailing. And we invite you to that in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 And so,
Dr. V, and you are tuned in to Unfailing Love Ministries, where each week we embrace the scriptures with intent, intensity, and integrity.